Because now we don't want to interrupt what's going to happen next as we talk now on Sports Saturday on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Our favorite Red Sox insider from The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey. Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
It's great to talk to you this morning. Let's get right into you. The Boston Red Sox. I think one of the fun stories, even as a Yankee, actually not fun for me, but fun for most people, was the Red Sox start to this season, one of the best teams in baseball, and still playing really good baseball, I think, right now. It's just unfortunate for them in the East with the way the Yankees and the Rays are playing. But give us an idea of where the Sox are right now and where you think where the mentality is.
Yeah, I mean, they've been able to win some of these games, but it's been tooth and nail. They really should be winning these games easily. And the bullpen, obviously, earlier in the week was, you know, blowing leads left and right. They moved Matt Barnes out of the closer's role. So they have been winning a couple of these games, but not by much. And so if they're going to make it, it's going to be kind of by fault of the A's kind of falling out of the race and, you know, the Red Sox sort of backing in. You know, I think they're working through a lot of issues right now. They have the COVID, you know, stuff they're dealing with. Kike Hernandez, who obviously had been so good for them all year, and he's going to be out. Christian Arroyo just came back, and now he's out because he's a close contact. So, yeah, they've been able, you know, obviously last night they, you know, pulled it out with Jonathan Arruz, and, you know, I think they're trying to focus on the fact that if they just get in, you know, anything can happen, but they're making it much harder on themselves over the past, you know, month or so, really. To even make it in just by, you know, the offense kind of falling off the map, you know, J.D. Martinez not, you know, being the J.D. Martinez that we know, and just, you know, kind of piecing these wins together. And, yeah, we don't know if this is sustainable, this kind of play. I mean, obviously they're playing bad teams, the Twins, the Rangers, the Indians, they play the Rays next week. So, I mean, if they go out and get swept by the Rays, that's obviously going to set them back. So they really have to be scoreboard watching and hope that the A's kind of fall off the map too, and hope that they can maybe kind of just get on a roll here against some of these bad teams, and maybe that'll you know, do them good in September.
Don't you think, though, you and I talked a lot in April and in May and even before then about this team, and the expectation of this team wasn't very high coming into the season. I mean, if somebody drew told you this story about the Red Sox, if this was, you know, in February you're talking about, wouldn't you take it if you're a Sox fan?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would, but they kind of built up the expectations all year for a lot of people, and I think that's why people are so angry that maybe Heim Bloom didn't go out and do enough at the trade deadline to help a team that was overachieving, that had a chance maybe to do a little bit more in the postseason. And it was pretty clear once the calendar turned August 1st that they started to run out of steam a little bit, and these guys were maybe playing a little bit over their heads and could have used a little bit more of a boost. But at the same time, you know, Bloom's been saying all along, you know, and I don't think anybody should have taking it too much of as a surprise that he wasn't going to mortgage the future. And he feels, you know, like this team was performing well, but that, you know, more or less wasn't worth giving up, you know, some top prospects to solidify some of the spots that they might have needed things. Now, at the same time, you know, Kyle Schwarber has come in, and he's not a first baseman, but he's, you know, has like a over 500 on base percentage. He's gone on base every single game that he's played for the team. So, I mean, I think there's, you know, merit in that and kind of picking up a guy there. I don't know that that was necessarily his first choice for a first baseman, considering he's never played first before yesterday, really. But, yeah, you know, I think this team, you know, didn't have high expectations heading into the year. They obviously overperformed, and now they're kind of regressing to the mean. But people are always going to, you know, come back to the what have you done for me lately. And, you know, they had been doing well and had been, you know, the best team in baseball record-wise at the end of June. So I think that's what people look at. They're not looking, you know, they're never going to look back and say, oh, we didn't believe in this team and now they're doing great. They want, you know, what's in front of them right now. They're never going to kind of go back and look at the offseason and you know, say, oh, well, this team, you know, shouldn't have been performing. They want the wins. And that's kind of why a lot of fans have a hard time looking towards the future, too, and why this model for Bloom is really being testing a lot of people's patience, because no one wants to care about the future. No one's really looking at the past. They're kind of looking at the here and now.
It's so interesting to hear you say that, because I think we had this conversation that if the Red Sox are in contention around the trade deadline and they definitely need something, if they don't, what do you do? Because I mean, Red Sox fans obviously have short memories. I mean, this team, this farm system was depleted. I mean, Bloom kind of took on quite a task here, I think, and he's made some pretty good decisions, the guys he's brought in. I'm surprised to hear there's that much anger out of the fan base right now, Jen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, from everything that we've heard, I know, you know, the fan base isn't representative of, you know, Twitter and sports radio and comment sections on stories, but even just talking with people here and there, people are kind of, you know, falling off the bandwagon. I think it's a very bandwagon era that we're in right now. And if you're doing good, everybody's on it. And if you're doing bad, then everybody hates you. So at this point in the season, the large, you know, majority of people are frustrated and hate the team and how they're playing. And, you know, should they get rid of Cora? All those kind of things are starting to start crop up, and it cracks you up because, you know, 10 weeks ago, everybody was obsessed with the team and loving life. And, you know, so it's a very kind of up and down. And you kind of, you know, I think the Red Sox and Bloom and Cora know that. And, you know, while it takes a toll on them, you kind of just have to ride the wave of the fanaticism, you know, and kind of the, you know, I guess people that maybe aren't, you know, looking at it with the most, the best perspective, you know. Bloom's trying to keep the team in contention for years to come, and whether people like it or not, you know, it's his team. So, I mean, you know, he kind of gets to make the choices. But, yeah, right now people, I guess, you know, for the most part, I think a lot of people's eyes have turned to the Patriots and kind of, you know, what's happening there. I don't think many people's eyes have turned away from the Patriots all summer with obviously the quarterback competition. But, yeah, I think even more so now.
Jen, Bobby Dalbec has really struggled against righties at times, and he's had some struggles defensively at first base more recently. But he's shown some great flashes at times and had some hot streaks. Does Bobby Dalbec have a future at first base in Boston?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think that, they, you know, I don't think that they're going to be, you know, cutting ties with him necessarily. I know Tristan Casas is probably on the way up next year. I mean, he's still probably going to start the year in AAA. Work his way into the, you know, into the majors, maybe by the middle of the year, depending on how he performs. But you know, he's still, you know, Dalbec came up as a third baseman. He's got, you know, options there. Do they eventually move Devers into a DH role? So, I mean, I don't think, you know, it's been a rough year for him. Obviously it's been a very good month. And he's definitely made mistakes at first base and needs improvement there, but he's also had some good plays. So, you know, I think it's a, you know, sort of a typical rookie year. Everybody kind of wants these rookies to come out and, you know, have terrific first seasons right off the bat, you know, and be impactful right away. And it's much more of an up and down kind of, you know, process. So I think, you know, I don't necessarily think that he'll, you know, be traded this offseason, or, you know, they'll cut ties with him this offseason. I'm expecting at this point, you know, on what, the end of August, August 28th, that he'll be back next year, and that they'll kind of give him another chance. But yeah, you obviously, like I said, factor in the fact that Tristan Casas is kind of, you know, not too far off and obviously doing really well in Portland right now. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of decisions that'll have to be made this winter. Do they bring in a more veteran, you know, first baseman as a platoon guy? So Dalbec has somebody there, and then, you know, maybe at the trade deadline something happens and Casas is up. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to consider, but I don't think that you base a player's entire, you know, or I don't think Bloom is going to base an player's entire career here based on, you know, a couple of poor months, you know, April, May, June, July. See what he does in September here. Obviously, he's been having a hot August. So if he can, you know, if they end up getting into the playoffs and he does big stuff for them in the playoffs, I think, again, we talk about short memory. People might forget about, you know, the first half of the season that was so bad for him.
We are talking to the Athletics Red Sox insider Jen McCaffrey here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. One of the big moves that I thought the Red Sox made without having to trade anybody was having Chris Sale come back. And he's been pretty good, right? I mean, he's been the guy they need him to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, again, people were sort of tempering their expectations. Don't expect too much out of him. You know, he's not, you know, how many times do we hear or see the comments, like, he's not going to come back, so, you know, the way that you expect him to be or the Chris that you expect him to be. And, I mean, it's only been three starts, and it's been against, again, you know, last place, you know, poorly hitting teams. But, if that's the way you're going to kind of ease him into things, he's looked great so far. And especially, you know, this past start on, Thursday night? That was impressive. He dialed it up to 98. He had the immaculate inning, you know, his flashes of kind of the vintage Chris Sale. So, I mean, I think, you know, again, people have these unrealistic expectations of a guy, you know, coming off of Tommy John surgery and want him to throw like a no-hitter the first time he comes back. They've intentionally been slow with his process because they know how valuable he can be. And it's sort of, you know, like training for a marathon or something. You don't go out and run the 26 miles the first day. You build up slowly over time, and that's kind of what they did with him. You know, you saw Noah Syndergaard and Luis Severino, who had the Tommy John surgery right around the same time in March 2020 last year, and look where they are and the setbacks they've had. So, yeah, Sale's come out and really kind of given them a boost. I think that's been part of why they've had kind of, you know, won a couple of these games lately, because even his presence in the dugout and, you know, the fervor that he brings to the game has really kind of helped them too. So, yeah, he'll be important for them over the next month.
Jim, we have a couple minutes left, but I have to get your comment on the American League East. I mean, when the future of this league, this division is going to be unbelievable. When you see what Tampa's done, what the Yankees have turned around, Toronto is going to be a really good team in the future. There's no question. And obviously, Boston, Baltimore's got a long way to go. But I mean, when you look at this division, I mean, this is a powerhouse division right now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what we expect of the AL East. The past couple of years, you know, it's been kind of down, but, you know, you think of the AL East in the early to mid-2000s, like, it was, you know, always competitive, you know, especially when Tampa came on and started being, you know, the team that we know they are now. So, yeah, this is kind of always been viewed as one of the toughest division in baseball, and I think that's, you know, very accurate right now and will be for years to come. So, the fact that the Red Sox, I think that also plays into Bloom's plan of trying to be competitive for the future too, because he knows that, you know, the teams around them aren't going to be sitting on their heels, and they're going to need to be, you know, bolstering their roster any way they can in the future. So yeah, it's definitely the cream of the crop in terms of divisions in baseball, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
And what Tampa has been able to do consistently with the guys they lose and the guys they bring up, I mean, Billy Beane got a movie made about what he did in Oakland, you know, with Moneyball. I mean, when does a movie get made about Tampa?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is pretty remarkable. You know, they get attention, but they also don't get enough attention. And, you know, I think people, you know, keep criticizing Bloom for the moves that he's made, but I think he's really trying to bring that aspect of things, but into a bigger market, you know, philosophy, and having the money here and kind of, but using the mentality of what he learned in Tampa. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of meshing those two together. I think right now we're sort of going through the growing pains of that and kind of figuring out, you know, how to mesh the two together, and realizing that he's only been, you know, fully in charge for, you know, 2-3 years here, really. So I think, you know, he's figuring it out too. But yeah, you know, Tampa should get all the credit in the world, and I think they do get a lot, but yeah, not nearly as much as they probably should.
Well, I mean, you hear about the Dodgers, you hear about the Giants, you hear about the Yankees, but nobody seems to talk about them. I think it's amazing. And obviously nobody's at the games, and nobody goes to these games, but man, they are an unbelievable.
I think that has a lot to do with it too. The fan base, you know, there's not as big of a passionate fan base. There's a very small passionate fan base, and I don't even know how passionate they are. So yeah, I think that kind of plays into it too, is that there's not a big market in general down there.
Jen, you're the best. Thanks for the time. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks. You too.
All right. The Athletic Red Sox insider, Jen McCaffrey.